For our New Testament reading, we turn to Matthew 25, beginning with the 14th verse. Allow me to read a section of that in the New International Version. Jesus is saying, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent according each to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents, gaining 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. This is the word of the Lord. As hard as it can be, this is the word of the Lord. Well, I speak to you from a little bit of a different status, I understand, this morning, and it's my pleasure to do so, my privilege to continue to serve you. I've always enjoyed preaching here and bringing to you the Word of God, and now I get to meddle a bit more in your lives by being your pastor for a while, and I appreciate that. I've been asked by a few people how to address me. I noticed that in the bulletin, I'm the Reverend Dr. Jack Michael Liu. I confess to you, I've never felt very reverend, not that impressed with doctor. Pastor works for me. So, Pastor Jack is nice. Jack is even nice. Hey, you works if you're bringing oatmeal raisin cookies. I'll respond to any friendly endeavor to connect. But it's special to be here. Some years ago, I met a young television writer. Her name was Misty. And Misty was a part of the Hollywood Presbyterian congregation. And she was successful in her craft. And because of that, she actually was offered a new job that would move her to New York, but almost triple her salary. And she came to me for prayer. You know, sometimes people come to me because they're in desperate need for some funds and their bills are overwhelming and they need some resources with which to pay and they don't have it. And so, Pastor, can you pray with me that somehow I can figure out how to deal with these overwhelming challenges that are financial? Misty came to me worried about having too much money. One of the few times that someone has come to me and said, I am scared of making this much money. I have seen people have their character turned upside down by too much money. I've seen them waste their resources on foolishness, sometimes drugs and alcohol. But how they've spent their resources has been destructive. Pastor, please pray that I might be wise in the way I use these extra resources so that I might use them well. I want to bless others because God has blessed me and not just to serve myself. While we prayed. And Misty went on to be a great success. I haven't heard from her since she went to New York. I'm trusting God for her care. But the Bible tells us about how to use our resources. And as this particular scripture talks about the fact that there are, by parable, there are people who receive talents and then are told to care for them in one fashion or another. And even though this word talents, you know, really talks about an amount of money, the parable itself simply wants to point out that we are to use whatever resources we have that are given by God for His glory. So it's not just money that is being talked about by this parable. It's our abilities, our gifts, the things that God has given us. It isn't just natural talents either. It is the special talents given by God. Some places in Scripture, it talks about them in terms of spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts, the purpose of spiritual gifts is for them to have a spiritual impact on other people's lives. But the whole point of this lesson, and we've sung about it so well in our music this morning as well, is that whatever is given to us is to be given to others, not just meant for ourselves alone. That's what Misty was praying about for her life. That's what we're called to pray about and do with our resources. The picture in the parable is that we don't all get the same talents. We don't all get the same amount of gifts. The issue is not so much what we have and what we are able to do because of God as much as how we're committed to use whatever we have. I was reminded of a story my father told me, my birth father. He talked about his father, my paternal grandfather. It was World War II. And while I was born in the middle of that war in Estonia, I was carried out by a mother who was escaping the horrors of that war. My mother took me in her arms and ran for our lives. My father left my mother, but he ran also for his life in another direction. My grandfather was conscripted by the Russian forces that came in to Estonia to fight the Germans who were already there and was made to fight for their army. The terrible thing that happened in Estonia is that when the Russians came into Estonia, they gathered Estonian boys to fight for them. As the Germans came into Estonia, into the same battleground, they gathered Estonian boys to fight for them. My grandfather led a regiment of Estonians for the Russians. When he learned that Estonians were going to be fighting Estonians, he couldn't handle it. So he organized an escape of several hundred Estonian troops. He became a hero to the Estonian people, but an enemy of the Russians. Once the war was over and the Soviets occupied Estonia, they went hunting for people like my grandfather, and they found him. And they sent him to Siberia. And in the Siberian prisoner of war camps, he lived for 15 years. As horrible as that was, the one wonderful thing that happened to him is that he really found God. And it changed his life. The interesting thing about the story that my father told, I hope it's true because it's wonderful. He is known to exaggerate. Is that when my father, before he was conscripted by the Russian army, knew that the Soviets were coming in, he looked at the one prized possession he had and wondered what to do. He loved his automobile. He had a car as a young man, brought him great pleasure. I have a picture of my grandfather and his car. He couldn't handle the idea of the Russians getting his car. He was quite a mechanic. He used that ability to take apart his car. And he buried it piece by piece so that the Russians couldn't get it. For 15 years in Siberia, one thing he knew was no one was getting his car. When he was released from the Siberian prisoner of war camp, he went back to Estonia, still occupied by the Soviets, but nevertheless was given his life to live in Estonia. One of the first things he did was he dug up his car. And as my father tells the story, he put that baby back together again and made it run. Before the Siberian experience, that car was for his pleasure. In Siberia, he found God, or maybe more correctly, God found him. And after Siberia, he used the car for God's pleasure. He committed himself to pastoral ministry, even in the occupation. And he served as pastor of a church about the size of this one in a little building hidden in the woods in one of the islands of Estonia for 20 years. He took what he had. When God claimed him, God not only sanctified him, but sanctified his resources, wrapped his love around that car, and said, "From now on, you will use it for me." That's what's happening here in the parable. It's God saying, "I'm going to give you a gift that you're going to use for me. It's not yours anymore. It's mine. Your abilities are now mine. Your special spiritual touches on people's lives are now mine. You will use the gifts I give you for my pleasure and not just your own." And there are a variety of ways that we do that. I remember teaching one Sunday morning years ago about the spiritual gifts that God gives. And you probably know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Ephesians and in Timothy, you know, there's a listing of some of the spiritual gifts that God gives, of teaching and helping and serving and giving and preaching, leadership. And as I taught about those gifts, one wonderful woman came up to me after that service and almost in tears said, I have no ministry gifts. I don't have any of those wonderful things that were listed in the scripture. And I looked at her and I remember saying, what do you do just out of love for people? I don't know that I do anything spiritually for people. All I do is that every month I bake a bunch of cookies and I take them to people I know just to remind them that they're thought about, cared for. And I said, are you kidding me? Those cookies wrapped in love that God has given you will change the lives of those to whom you give them. That's your gift. That's your talent. That's your special ability. God's list of the kinds of resources we have are much longer than can be contained in the scripture. They're just those things that we wrap in love and deliver to other people for their benefit. That's why Jesus talked about the master who was so frustrated about the person who took the one gift and buried it and did nothing with it. At least my grandfather dug up his car after a while and did something with it, you know. So according to this passage, we are taught that we serve Christ with each one our unique abilities that God has given us. And we serve him so that it would have a worthy result in life. The whole idea is to give away the resources that we have and the abilities that we have and the gifts that we have so that other people's lives might be enhanced. We bring pleasure to God by bringing pleasure to other people. That's what makes him smile. Spirituality is not hiding away somewhere doing nothing except some spiritual mantra that we might repeat. And the people to whom Jesus is speaking here are familiar with a group called the Qumran community. It was a spiritual community, and they were committed. Men, true to their commitment, went out into the desert, dug caves in which they lived, protecting themselves, they felt, from the evil of society so that they could bring pleasure to God by that spiritual isolation. That's like this one talent guy who buried his talent, did nothing with it. What good are we to the mission of Christ in the world by just hiding away, saying our spiritual sayings, quoting our spiritual quotes, and singing our spiritual songs if it doesn't reach anybody? I mean, whatever happened to the concept of being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, to affect people? That's why we exist. And we each have our own world. We've got our own section. Some of it feels smaller than it used to be, but it's ours. And we have our opportunities that God has given us there. We each in our own way are called to have an effect on people. And we will have an effect on people if we use the spiritual gifts that God has given us. I have a barber named Beverly, to whom I have gone for at least 30 years. Started in Hollywood, so I keep driving back to Hollywood whenever I get a little shaggy. I think I'm due this week. Beverly is a Christian woman, kind of an earthy Christian woman. She speaks her mind and she speaks it straight. She gives her testimony about her faith in Christ and doesn't pull any punches. And she's got an audience that just, you know, comes to her one by one to her chair. And once she starts on you, you know, there's no escaping. You're not going to leave with half a haircut. So she'll give you her speech. And I've noticed that the longer she speaks, the less hair one has, because she keeps cutting. But I've heard her say, as phone calls come in while she's working on me on the phone, "Look, you need to get your act together and trust Jesus. Don't you understand that?" And if that isn't enough, there have been a couple of occasions when she said, "Look, I have a pastor sitting here in this chair, and he would like to talk to you." And I get this phone to talk to whoever in the world is on the other end. People have witnessed to the fact that Beverly has changed their lives by her honest and caring approach. She will adjust schedules so that a person she feels needs to talk to another person has their appointment right back to back, so they can't help but encounter her. Everybody has the opportunity to use their abilities in their own unique way. And the world becomes different as a result of that. A visual example of that hit my mind this week is thinking back to an old musical. Do you remember a musical that really started in the 70s called Godspell? A wonderful celebration and depiction of disciples following Jesus Christ, who in that musical happened to actually wear a Superman top. There were some Christians who felt offended by the casualness of all of that. I confess to you, I just loved the musical. There were some wonderful images of Christ teaching in it along the way. It wasn't perfect, but it was wonderful. And there was a scene when Jesus took his disciples into a junkyard. You may remember. And it was in that junkyard that they began to sing the song, "Day by Day." Day by day. Don't be afraid, I'm not going to sing it. "Three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day." And while they were singing, they were painting all of the stuff in the junkyard with this outlandish, marvelous, wild colors, so that it looked like a celebration just by the colors they wore. The junkyard was absolutely different because the disciples came singing through that place and painting that place. See, I think that's what that scripture is about. That things in the world, our part of the world, ought to be different because we've been through there with a song in our soul and an ability to paint something different by a few things that we can do and have an effect on people's lives because we didn't bury our talent. This church, each of you, has some ability and gift, some talent that God has given you. And he hasn't retired the gift yet. There are still opportunities to share yourself with others in this place and in your world and in your relationships. And that's what Jesus is saying, not only to his disciples, but to us through the scriptures for today as well. The world needs you and who you are. We need each other. This is a place where God has poured some gifts. We still have some work to do with each other and with our neighborhoods. May we find ourselves saying yes to that calling. Maybe we'll start singing day by day and changing the color of the places we're at as well. May it be so. Father, that's my prayer. I pray that it's the prayer of us as a congregation. We trust you for supplying us with all that we need for our lives, but not only for our lives, but for other people's lives. May we be found faithful by our Master, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Amen.